Hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to the Courage and Clarity podcast. Steph Crowder here. And this is the podcast that is designed to help you balance the head and the heart of entrepreneurship. This podcast is for those of you out there who are trying to earn an independent living, doing something that you love, changing the world, changing people's lives, changing your own life with your skills, your expertise, your ideas. And this is the show where we figure out how to get it done, both from a strategic perspective, but then certainly from a mindset and courage and chutzpah and what does it really take to make it all work. I'm your host, Steph Crowder, and I'm thrilled to have you with me here today. I am so excited for today's episode. I know I say it every single time, but really, this one, I got to be honest with you, I had like a little butterfly feeling go through my chest when I sat down to record this, because we are going to talk about some really big stuff that I uncovered when I was coaching myself recently. Have we talked about coaching ourselves recently on the show? This is something I'm talking with my clients about all the time, is the importance of coaching yourself. Now, some people refer to this as journaling, and in a way it is, because it does utilize pen and paper. But something I have really committed to in recent months, and let me be honest, I don't do it every single day, although I really am getting pretty close. I'm really trying to do this every single day, is create a brain dump. Some call this a thought download, where you just get your piece of paper and you just dump out what's going on in your brain. And it is about understanding how you think and revealing some of the thoughts that you have that you just accept as fact, right? Because that is, you know, our own perspective is all we have as we walk through the world. And the danger, of course, is mistaking thoughts for facts. We all do this. And so I find that coaching myself creates this very powerful pause, this incredible bit of distance or space between me, Steph Crowder, and my thoughts, right? Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School calls this learning how to become the watcher of your own mind, like this observer of your own thoughts, as if you're like looking at your brain in a science, like through the glass of like a science experiment or something, right? Just that little bit of distance and that little bit of curiosity to ask, I wonder why I keep thinking this, or I wonder why I keep feeling anxious, or I wonder why I can't stop scrolling my phone at 10 p.m., right? Just taking that bit of curiosity and not accepting everything in our lives as like, well, this is just the way that it is. And again, truly just getting curious about it and trying to understand it. I think most importantly, as you're going to hear in this episode, trying to see it from another angle, challenging thoughts. The longer you've had the thought, the better, in terms of how powerful it can be to challenge it. I've been thinking of this exercise as isolating your thoughts. Like if your thoughts were little, like those beautiful little pieces of sea glass or something, or little gems. My daughter like loves these gemstones, right? If each of your thoughts was like a little gemstone that you could just pluck up and put it in the palm of your hand, might you turn your palm a little bit and look at that gem from a different angle, right? So you've been looking at it just from this one angle and you see it just this one way. But then you turn your hand maybe 90 degrees or 45 degrees and you find yourself looking at a different picture. Maybe there's like a different, you know, corner, or the light reflects off of it differently. I've been trying to do this with my thoughts and it is incredible. It is so fascinating. Thoughts that I have just accepted as negative, and certainly just accepted them as this is just how it is, trying to do that little rotation and look at it differently, I have actually been, and you'll see it in this episode, I've been able to see some of my thoughts, again, that I just accepted as negative, crappy thoughts, and ask myself, like, what's another way to look at this? Or why might I be thinking this? And I have a completely different understanding of that thought. It is amazing work. So big big suggestion for you to try out the self-coaching. All my clients do, or at least they know that I want them to. And it is one of the most life-changing practices that I've implemented in the past year. And I want to share with you today about the feeling and the thought of messiness. So often my clients and my listeners, my friends, tell me that they feel really messy. And it's so funny because me too. And I have a program, a mastermind, a really successful mastermind program called The Messy Middle. And it never ceases to crack me up and also kind of annoy me that I have this program called The Messy Middle, which is all about, you know, being a mid-stage entrepreneur and kind of having to wade your way through the muck of those middle stages and how truly messy they feel and learning to embrace that. It's so funny that this is what I teach, this is what I do, and it is something that I personally really do struggle with. I know they say what you're seeking is seeking you. This is such a good example. So it's funny to me because my clients will come to me and say, I feel messy and I'm a mess and it's all a mess. And I think they may be surprised when I'm like, girl, same, right? Like it's not, the mess really isn't necessarily something to overcome. That's one thing my clients learn pretty quickly is, one of my clients actually said this to me and I thought it was amazing. She said, when I joined The Messy Middle, I thought you were going to help me clean up the mess. And it turns out what I'm really here to do is learn to work with the mess and embrace the mess. I always say messy is your bestie. Just like, and some of you don't want to hear that. You're like, no. I don't do mess. Well, I hear you. Mess is deeply uncomfortable. I didn't say you had to like it, but I am going to talk to you about how I was able to examine the mess myself and come out with another perspective. It's not about replacing my original thoughts that I had about the messiness, which I'm going to share, but an opportunity to see it a little bit different. I think you guys are going to like this. So I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to be brutally honest about what came up for me. And I've shared it with a few friends and they were like, yes, you know, this is like, we can all relate. This is something that I have to share. Okay. So I sat down one day last week and you guessed it. I was just feeling like a mess. And I have my journal in front of me, actually. And the first thing I wrote was, today I feel like a hot mess. I feel like I don't have it together. As I write this, the house feels messy. My head feels messy. I just feel a bit frantic. Like everywhere I turn, there is something else for me to do. I look around and it's like, gotta do this, gotta do that. No, wait, there's this other thing. And so thinking about that thought, I started to ask myself, where does that come from? And the answer was, there's something to do wherever I look. It makes me feel like I am drowning, like nothing is truly complete. Yeah. So looking around and being like, oh, that's not done. And then this isn't done. So I can look at my household. I can look at my business and just looking around everywhere and just feeling like it's all incomplete. Now, what's so fascinating is having incomplete tasks is a completely neutral circumstance, right? Like, it is just neutral. The tasks are incomplete. It's just, you know, the dishes are in the sink, okay? The email inbox is at 3,144, okay? Those are 100% neutral. They don't mean it's not good, it's not bad, it's just literally what is. Until we have a thought about it. Until you have a thought that tells your brain, this is good, this is bad. Now, as you can imagine, my thoughts about these circumstances were certainly, this is bad. These things are incomplete and I want them to be complete. The dishes are in the sink and I don't want them to like that. The inbox is a mess and oh my gosh, I'm terrible and I'm so disorganized and why would anybody work with me? And the list goes on and on, right? So it's really interesting with something like messiness, when things feel messy, when my clients and my listeners say, I feel messy. I know from experience what's going on underneath is so much more than the mess. Going through this exercise myself showed me just how much shame a lot of us carry about the mess. We're making so many judgments about ourselves based on the mess. So as I kept going through this, I started to uncover. I just kind of tried to go deeper and deeper. And I wrote, I'm behind and someone else is going to notice. And I imagine people saying, this is a quote, oh, what a mess she is. She really does not have it together. She's unprofessional. Okay. And I asked myself, why does this matter to me? Like, why do I care so much whether I appear to have it together? What does having it together even mean? Okay. And so I did a whole bunch more journaling about how, and you can get real honest with yourself. And I'm happy to be fully honest with you. There is a part of me that I wrote, to be honest, maybe I enjoy being admired. I was thinking about my personal life when people are like, gosh, you just got it together, girl. Or look at you, you're so put together today. Or how do you do it all? I never really acknowledged that there was a part of me that enjoyed appearing that way. Okay. I'm not even scared to tell you that there may even be some like superiority happening there. I think that's very human to feel like, oh, I'm doing better. Like I might be imperfect, but I'm doing better than those people. Or, you know, I don't have it all together, but at least they think I do. Okay. And so maintaining the facade, and this really comes up in my personal life, which is interesting. I'm actually much more comfortable being messy with you all. That's something that I examined as well. But even just like having it together as a protective mechanism, a self-protection of like, well, even if I don't have it all together, at least they think I do. Okay. Really interesting stuff. And so I started really trying to use the life coaching model to understand what was going on in my brain. And this is essentially what was happening. So I had the circumstance of incomplete tasks. There were, like I told you, there were just things that were not done. And one of the thoughts I had was everywhere I turn, nothing is complete. Everything is partially done, which left me feeling scattered, you know, and you know that feeling of like you're jumping from one thing to the next, you're not really completing anything. So that's how things manifested in my A-line, my actions that come from the thoughts and feelings. I would start and stop things. I might yell because I'm frustrated. The dishes aren't done. Create more work for myself because of the starting and stopping. It's actually just like making things kind of more frantic, right? Inability to take it one step at a time. And then my result is I don't actually complete anything, okay? Which creates the circumstance all over again of incomplete task. And then we just stay stuck in this cycle of incomplete. And then beating myself up for it. So listen to this. I went a little bit deeper because all of that was accurate. But going deeper, oh, this just feels like a dagger in the heart when I realized this. I was like, what's going on with this thought? Let's dig into this. I started asking myself more questions. And I came to a thought that was even more gutting, which was, I believe I can't be successful if I feel this way. And to take it a step further, successful people don't feel like this. Ugh. Successful people don't feel like this. And I wonder if you're someone who's, you're listening to this podcast, so you probably do feel messy sometimes. Do you have this thought too? That if you were a successful person, you wouldn't be feeling this way. Successful people don't feel like this. Successful people aren't a mess. Right? When I found that one, I was like, whoo, there she is. And so I ran a model on this and I used the thought, successful people don't feel like this. And you know what feeling that brings up? Shame. And we talked about shame. I think it was just the last podcast. We talked about shame. The more I do this work, the more I realize shame is, I think I said this on the last episode, is the, I believe like the most deep, like the deepest motivator. And not in a positive way, of course, right? It is the most, one of the most potent emotions. It is one of the most gut-wrenching emotions. It is one of the most paralyzing emotions. Shame will have you just stop dead in your tracks. Stop dead in your tracks, right? And if you're feeling shame, I think it's almost impossible to make progress. It's something that I've come to understand. Until you process that shame, until you understand that shame, okay? So for me, feeling shame and what ends up happening is I don't end up claiming successful. I don't end up doing all of the things that I know make me successful, taking the size of the stage that I want to take, that I believe I'm here to have. I'm not doing those things. I'm not showing up like a successful person because I don't believe that successful people would feel this way, right? And so realizing that when my life feels like this, it feels like I'm an unsuccessful person. And like I said, successful people don't have a life that looks like this. And so this is comparison too, of course. And so then you may have the thought, this looks more similar to a struggling, unsuccessful person. This is what it is to be unsuccessful. And then I kept going with this, and this is where the light bulb really started to go off, because I wrote, but truly, the really unsuccessful people don't even engage in this conversation. Think about that. The really unsuccessful people don't even engage in this conversation. Let me tell you why. They wouldn't look around and see all the potential in the half-done tasks. How about that? What if you feel messy because you actually see possibility? What if you feel messy because you're looking around with a vision of what it could look like, and you are deeply unsatisfied with the gap between where you are now and where it is that you want to go? What if you feel this way because you have a clear vision, because you know that you are meant for more, because you have aspirations, because you have more to do here? If everything was done, you'd have nothing left to do. You'd be done growing your business. No more growth. You're done. There's nothing more to do. You can go home and retire on the beach. No more money to be made. No more lives to impact. No more legacy to create. You're done. That's what that would mean, right? If everything was done, you'd have nothing left to do. Messy is a sign that you don't fully like the things the way they are right now. And that is okay. That is a good thing, in my opinion. It can be a good thing, right? Not if we use it to beat ourselves up. Not if we miss out on the joy of life that is available to us right now. Here's the beautiful thing. You can be in the mess. Take it from me. Ask me how I know. You can be in the mess. You can be in the thick of it. You can be striving and have growth goals and want things to change. And you can deeply enjoy your life at the same time. So make no mistake. I'm not saying that, you know, when I say messy is a sign that you don't fully like things the way they are right now, that doesn't mean you're unhappy. It doesn't mean that you don't have good moments. It doesn't mean you aren't living a beautiful life. Because I absolutely know that I am. I love so much happening in my life, deeply, deeply, deeply. And I know that I am still evolving to my highest good. I know I haven't done all that I'm here to do. Of course, I could go on and join the good Lord if I were done, right? So things are undone. And this makes sense because you have more to do. And moreover, this is actually great news. How about that? I mean, I just have the biggest smile on my face. This is great news. You're a mess. It was great news. You see messy because you see what you could become. You see messy because you see what you could become. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't it get you fired up? It gets me excited for you and for me. Messy is a prerequisite for success. Okay? Messy is a prerequisite for success. Mess ultimately drives us to get out there and solve problems. Ah! To make it feel better, right? To keep aligning and aligning and aligning little by little, 1% at a time, closing the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. Mess is uncomfortable, and it's supposed to be, because I once had, recently I had my therapist said this to me, and it was so powerful. She said, pain moves us into action. Pain moves us into action. So mess is uncomfortable, and mess may even make you want to crawl out of your skin. I know it does for me. But mess ultimately does motivate us. And that's a beautiful thing. All of y'all telling me you want motivation, but you don't want to be messy. You're like, I want motivation and I want it to feel amazing the whole time. How incredible is it to think that you could use the mess as fuel? like that could become the gas in your tank. And you don't have to, please hear me. You don't have to hate yourself while you're doing it. You don't have to hate the mess. You can want better and be 100% positive about where you are right now. Okay, it's a little messy. All right. No problem. Let's go out there and get the job done and fix it. Right? Mess ultimately motivates us because we see how much better we can do and how much more we deserve. I love it. I love this realization so much. It's so powerful to realize, remember my thought, successful people don't feel this way. I have now realized unsuccessful people don't feel this way. Because if you were truly not on track to make progress, it wouldn't bother you, right? You'd be like, it's good. I'm cool. I'm just gonna live with it, right? So I thought I would offer this just incredible mindset shift that successful people absolutely feel messy. Successful people have figured out that the mess doesn't have to be a problem. The mess is uncomfortable. The mess does cause discomfort, but discomfort moves us. We could go through history. We could go through history in any culture and look at what discomfort has created across humanity, across oceans, across all the lands. Discomfort has created incredible things, massive change, revolution, progress. Our higher selves, right? It was messy as hell. Think of any major event that changed humankind forever. Messy as hell, okay? Successful people absolutely feel messy. And it's amazing news because there's more for you to do. You are aligning yourself just day by day with that higher version that you're here to become. And what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing that is to look around and see the potential in those tasks, right? And not to look at those incomplete tasks and say, I'm a failure, I'm a mess, I can't be successful. But to look at those incomplete tasks and think, I can see what this wants to be. I can see that, even little things, I can see that sink of dishes. And I know that I can have a clean kitchen. I know what it takes to have a clean kitchen. And I don't have it right now, and that's frustrating me. Okay, but I know what the possibility is there. Think about how far you could go with this in your business. If you are like me and you feel like so many parts of your business are messy, that is because you see possibility. That is because you can picture what an elevated business would look like, what a cleaner back end of your business would look like, what a better client experience would look like. You aren't done here. And that is the best news of all. Okay, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope that you can think about this next time you feel like a mess. And by the way, it's okay. It's okay to feel the negative emotions about mess. I didn't walk away from this journaling session and now I just sashay through my house through the mess. No, I still flip out. I still am uncomfortable about it. And I welcome this new perspective as well. Again, it's back to that gemstone sitting in my hand. I can just turn it, see it a different way and think, oh, yeah. Okay, this painful part is here, but there's this other part as well. And it's equally beautiful and it's very exciting. So I hope that this helps. I know so many of you, like I said, tell me that you feel messy. And I welcome you to try this exercise with any feeling that you have, any thought that you have. Like for me, the messiness comes up so much. I get so tired of it. I'm like, why am I still telling this story of the messiness? I welcome you to challenge the prevailing stories in your life and ask yourself, again, that gemstone in the palm, how could I turn it? How could I look at it differently? How might this negative emotion have, like if that's the shadow side, what does it look like when the sun hits it, right? Both are still there. We're not replacing, but it's just looking at it, challenging yourself to look at it from another angle. This is absolutely, as you can imagine, the work that we do inside the Messy Middle Mastermind. The Messy Middle is my small group mastermind, intimate coaching with me for 6 months for mid-stage entrepreneurs who are, you guessed it, in that messy middle of entrepreneurship and are working towards creating and understanding their sustainable sales systems. Right now, the mastermind is in full swing with the current group that I have, but we are opening up for enrollment again, before you know it, this spring. like soon we are going to be opening up for enrollment and we do have a wait list. So this experience does fill up and I want you to get all the details into your hands. Be the first to get the details when I send them. If you are interested, you can go to stephcrowder.com/mastermind. There will be details there. There will be a place to put your name in the waitlist box and I will make sure that you get all of the details as they are unfolding because this next cohort is starting in April. And again, I know that feels like it's far away, but our enrollment is going to open up in, I believe it's early March. We're still nailing down the dates, but it's all going to be upon us before you know it. So make sure you go to stephcrowder.com/mastermind. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. It absolutely makes my day when I hear from you. You can email me if you have my email address, if you receive my emails, or you can DM me on Instagram. I'm at Hey Steph Crowder. All right, my friends, I will see you next week. And until then, I'm wishing you the courage and the clarity to go after what you love.